for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, April 2nd, 1999. Passover weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the teacher of the afternoon.
I'm going to share some this afternoon on something the Lord gave me over the weekend. Last week, I can't remember exactly when it was. But we had a lady come in our church, and she got delivered from a spirit of stubbornness. And it was just tremendous what God did. Her whole countenance changed, and, you know, it was just so, she was just totally different. So I really didn't think much about it, and I was lying in bed, I think it was must have been Sunday morning, and I said, Lord, I know, you know, I've prepared to minister today. I was going to minister Sunday night. Jim doesn't preach deliverance as much as I do. I've been doing it a long time, and we try to have a balance in our church, and he keeps his balance, and I do and I sometimes don't teach on deliverance either. But anyways, I got up that morning, and the Lord said, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do this morning? Tonight, I really don't know. I'm prepared, and I was going to preach on compromise. Spirit of compromise is what the Lord had given me. But he said, stubbornness. And I thought, well, that's good. So, but you'll have to show me how, what, and where we can go. Lord, I don't know, you know, I knew about what had happened in doing this spirit of stubbornness. But anyways, I'm going to do that in just a minute. But first, we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for the authority that's in that name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, your word says that every name that has a name will bow, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And Father, we come this afternoon and we bow to that name, the name of Jesus Christ, and ask you now, Father, by your Spirit, have your way in this place tonight, this afternoon, Lord, do a work. Lord, if there be any here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, Father, convict and bring to salvation. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. We stand upon your word, Father. You said, whatever we ask in your name, believing, receive it. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Father, give us hearing ears and seeing eyes and an understanding heart, that we might see the word, hear the word, and understand it, and receive it in our heart, and walk in it, in the name of Jesus. And Father, now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the authority you've given me, where I'm seated in Christ Jesus, in the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, I bind every force of darkness. In the name of Jesus Christ, I bind wicked spirits, kings, thrones, and dominions, principalities and powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world. And I bind spiritual wickedness in high places in the name of Jesus. I bind every demonic force in the heavens in the name of Jesus. In that authority that you said that you had given to me over all, you had given me authority over all the power of the devil. And that nothing shall by any means harm me. So, Father, I stand in that authority and I thank you for it. And I just ask now, Father, that you surround us with your angels, cover us with the blood of Jesus, and do that which you desire to do in us. Praise you and give you glory and honor now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I was sharing with the women upstairs while I was going, so I've got scripture I'm going to go before I go into what I'm going to share and teach on. But in Matthew's gospel, one of the ladies asked me, we were praying, and one of the ladies wanted me to pray for her son, and we had prayed, and I said, Father, would you send the word? You said you sent your word and healed them of the destruction and delivered them, healed them of their diseases and delivered them from their destruction. And as I was praying and as I was binding and whatever, I heard the enemy say, you can't do that. And I said, Lord. And I stopped and I said, can we do that? Can we send the word to get people free? And the Lord brought scripture to me in Matthew 15. He always gives us word. He put the word to it. He said that the Syrophoenician woman in verse 21 said, then Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him. This is verse 22 in chapter 15 of Matthew. Said, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. See, deliverance belongs to God's children. If you're not born again, you really don't have any right to deliverance. And you don't want it anyways, because if you were delivered and you didn't know Jesus, you don't have any protection against the enemy. You must know Jesus Christ and who he is and be born again to protect you when you receive deliverance. But here is our seven worse than the first will enter in. Praise the Lord. We'll scare you into the kingdom if you won't come any other way. Praise the Lord. But then he goes on to, then in verse 28, or verse 27 says, she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thy will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. That's long distance deliverance. And then, of course, we know over Matthew 8 in the centurion that came to Jesus. I'm not going into that one, but there, you know, he said, Master, I said, send your word. That I'm not worthy for you to come into my house, but send your word only, and my servant be healed. So people, we need to really look at the word and see what the word says. We read it sometimes, and we hear it, but we don't hear it. Okay, if you will, go over into 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want to share some what the Lord has gave me on this. We need to be mindful of the word and obey the word. You see, as I was looking at this in Matthew 15, and it began with verse 22, 1 Samuel, what did I say, Matthew? I'm back in Matthew again, that's okay. 1 Samuel, excuse me. First mistake I made all day. Chapter 15, verse 22, okay? 1 Samuel. Got it? Everybody with me? Am I with y'all? And Samuel said, has the Lord so great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I titled my sermon this afternoon, Disobedience, Rebellion, Witchcraft, and Stubbornness. Quite a title, isn't it? But I want to show you something, what the Lord began to show me. Stubbornness is a strong spirit. He is a one that everyone has. Oh, well, not me. You know, I'm pretty perfect. Sometimes we act like that, you know, in deliverance. We sit around with our hands folded. I have people sit there in my church sometimes with their hands, arms folded like that, like, show me. And then I say, okay. Lord, I show you, I can't. But I want you to look. The word says, you know the story. If you don't know the story, you know that Saul disobeyed God. God told him to destroy everything. You know, we say, you can't do that. God shouldn't, you know, why did God want to destroy even the children? He wanted to destroy the animals. He wanted to destroy everything when they went into the land. And Saul disobeyed God. And of course, he was like we are. We say, well, the devil made us do it, or my husband made me do it, or my wife made me do it. But Saul said the people made him disobey God. He had to please the people. You know, he brought back the king, and he brought back animals for sacrifice. And that was the first part of this chapter there. And when Samuel went to Saul, he said, God's word says, he says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And so we see here that God wants us to obey. And I want to walk you through this afternoon and show you that first disobedience comes. We disobey the Lord. And I want to show you how one thing opens the door for something else. Okay? And over in Deuteronomy, we're coming back to this in a few minutes, but go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. I talked to the ladies upstairs. I didn't use many scriptures because I had so much I wanted to say, and it was hard to get it, a short time to get it all out. But praise the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 27, verse 26, he says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." You know, we can choose which we want. We want to be blessed of God or we want to be cursed. We'll say, "Well, I don't want to be cursed. I want God's blessing." We want God's blessing, but we don't always want to obey what the Word says. We want to argue with it. We want to compromise with it. You can't speak it like it is. You might hurt somebody's feelings. Let me tell you something. Everywhere Jesus went, he either caused a riot or a revival. And I'll tell you what, when God's people get bold enough to be honest and speak what the Word says, and no matter who, the Word's going to offend you. Don't it offend me? It offends me sometimes. It hurts. But I'm going to obey it to the best of my ability. And when we get honest with God and we say, "God, I'm going to obey you no matter what it costs." You know it cost me my whole family when I made a decision I was going to obey God? It cost us our family. But God brought them back. They ran from us. They've gone completely nuts. Our mother and father's gone completely nuts. But God brought them back one at a time. And he promised he would do that. And so here we're being asked by God. He says, do you want a blessing or a curse? A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you this day. You know, we say, well, you know, the commandments are in the Old Testament. We don't live there. You better live there. You better live in the whole book. Man put a division in the Bible. God didn't. Man separated the old from the new. But God said it's one book. And we need to accept it as one book. Jesus said when he came, he said, "I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." And we have got to obey it. You say, "Well, I'm not under the law." That's true, but the law, the Word tells us that we're under grace. Thank God. It wasn't. We've been dead long ago. The Word tells us that when we obey his Word to the best of our ability and walk in it, God will bless us. He said, "And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known." Man makes a decision. Well, we need to, in the days in which we are walking today, we better make a decision to be obedient to what the Word of God says. And so, in verse 28, let's go to chapter 28, another. I hear people quote this all the time. But they don't quote all of it. In Matthew, in Deuteronomy 28, I'm still on Matthew. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1 says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth." Our brother said this morning when he was ministering, he said, "Do what God tells you to do." Well, if God told you to jump up and run around the room, you'd say, "Well, people think that's crazy." But if that was God telling you to do it, you need to be obedient. I heard a lady teaching on intercession and hear the voice of the Lord. And she said, sometimes the things that God tells us to our natural mind sound stupid. But if we'll obey him in some what he tells us to do, he will speak more to us and show us more as we are obedient to him. And our problem is we're afraid of what people say. I was telling the girls upstairs, I said, when I was calling Spirit South, I said, don't look around and be concerned about what people think. Because what if you're beginning to get deliverance from something, it could be something that was called a while back. And I watch people hinder their own deliverance because they're afraid somebody thinks, well, I might have that spirit. Well, you probably do. It probably came in through the sins of the fathers. And maybe your own sins. But you need to get rid of it. You need to stop caring what people think about you as long as you're obeying God and walking with the Lord. Man, I want it out. I don't care what it is. Now, I'm not going to let every Tom, Dick, and Harry come up and lay hands on me and call things off of me because I have been cursed too many times by people laying hands on me that shouldn't. And you say, well, never mind what you might say, but I'm going to be obedient to the Lord, and I want it out. If you see something on me, and you know it's God, come tell me, and we'll get somewheres, and I'll let you call it off. If I know you, I got to know where you're walking, because I tell you, people, the Word says lay hands on no man suddenly. So remember that. Anyways, And he said here in verse 2, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. All these blessings that he's talking about here in Deuteronomy are yours and mine if we obey him. But if we don't obey, then Deuteronomy 15 says, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe thee all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, did you ever read the curses? There's a lot of them. And God says, if we'll be obedient, he will bless us. And we need to continue to be obedient to his word. Over in Genesis chapter 12, I'm trying to drive the point home this afternoon that obedience is better than sacrifice. That's what God's word says. And in Genesis chapter 12, to show you what disobedience can do, you know, when God called Abraham, verse 1 said, and now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He called Abraham to go into a land that God was going to show him. He said, get thee out from thy father's house. Who did he take with him? And God told him to leave his family. He said, go out. God was trying to separate him from all of, and so he could obey God. And yet he disobeyed God. And look what happened for all of the different things that came upon him because of his disobedience. Did you ever have God to tell you to do something? And you knew it was the voice of the Lord, but you were afraid to go do it. You were afraid to go do it. Where does fear come from? God said, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. And the minute you get into fear, you need to start rebuking the fear and say, God, I'm going to obey you, and I'm going to do what you told me to do. And you need to tell the devil to take his fear and leave, because it doesn't come from God. And so God is telling us, come on, and be obedient to what I tell you to do. And Genesis chapter 3, let's go back to the Garden of Eden, where it all started. In Genesis 3 and verse 15, the word says, God was talking about verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. By the way, we're made out of dust, aren't we? I was telling the girls upstairs, and I know a lot of y'all are going to be disagree with me, but I'm going to tell you this because I believe it. God created man in Genesis 2:7 out of the dust of the ground. Well, I was looking at that dust of the ground, and I said, who did the dust belong to then? So it belonged to God. Stop and look at Genesis 1 when it said that darkness was upon the face of the earth. God never made anything that was dark and a mess like the earth was then. And God spoke. He began to create. He created, and then he made man in his image, and he gave him dominion over this dust. Genesis 1:26 and 27 said God gave us authority over everything he created with his hands. Everything he created, everything God created, he gave us authority, dominion over. He made us out of the dust. And I was telling them up there, this is the ground that I've got dominion over. I'm made out of dirt. So are you. When we go to the grave, if you go to the grave before the Lord comes back, your body will go back to dust. But God gave us dominion over it. He breathed the breath of life into man, Adam, and he became a living soul. Man is a living soul. Man has mind, will, emotion, ability, personality, desires, lust, heart. You know, if you look up some of those words, even heart has the same definition as soul and life. Life and soul are the same. I looked them up, and when God was, I'm fixing to write a book on this. I'm going to put this on the soul in there that God's been giving me. But what I'm trying to show you this afternoon, we were made out of the dust of the ground, and God gave us authority over it. And he said the devil's going to eat on you. That's what he said in verse 14. And dust, and upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. One of the ways to keep him off of you is be obedient to God. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What I wanted you to see here was that in the garden, when God put man in the garden, he gave him dominion, he gave him authority. He told him not to eat of the tree. He said, you can eat of every tree in here, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eat of the tree of life. I believe the tree of life was Jesus. He said, you can take of the tree of life. But instead, they took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What did they do? They disobeyed God. And that because of that, the enemies had an open door to chew on us ever since then. But God says, I've given you authority over the dust, over everything, over the sea, over the everything in the sea, over the everything in the earth that walks upon the earth and that flies in the heavens. But this is the authority that we, the ground that we have the authority, most authority over, is the one we live in. And as we're obedient to God, as we walk with Him, as we obey Him, we're going to see God work. We're going to see the devil have less and less authority or power over us. He said in Genesis, when He made us out of the dust of the ground, now I didn't finish what I started. I said, Lord, the dust of the ground where Satan was ruling, you made man and you put his soul and spirit in it. And what does he say in 1 John? To overcome the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And he also tells us to overcome the things of the world. Well, this is the world that we need to overcome them in. And I was saying to the Lord, I said, Lord, the first time the Lord spoke that to me, I really had problems with it, and I just laid it aside. And when he brought it back to me a few months ago, he was showing me that we were made this way so we could become the overcomers that he has called us to be. We got to overcome everything. The nations, Tommy told it last night, I got so excited last night because the Lord had just, I'd been talking this on the overcomer. That he said, I always quoted, I got authority over the nations. What nations have I got authority over? These in my mind. He didn't give me authority over the world. The nations of the world. My faith doesn't stretch that far. But it does stretch far enough to know that I've got authority over this. So as we be obedient to him, and as we walk in that power and authority, chill on that a little while. You don't have to agree with me. Now, I may be legalistic. I may be just going too far. But I tell you what, I'm not near as far as I'm going to go. I'm going to get out on the end of the limb and say, go ahead, Saul. I don't care. God will catch me. He loves me. He loves you. He wants the best for us. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Disobedience is a doorway where we begin to disobey God. When we disobey God, did you know that when you disobey God and you don't repent of it then and take care of it and you keep walking with the Lord, God's not going to talk to you till you confess, go back to where you disobeyed Him and ask Him to forgive you. Well, say oh me if you can't say amen. Because I'll tell you, God wants, He wants the best for us. He said, all the promises in this book belong to me. Well, then why am I not walking in them? Every promise in this, everything Jesus did up on the cross, He did for me. He healed me. He delivered me. He washed me in the blood. He gave me everything. But because of our disobedience to the Word of God, because we compromised it. That word compromise just keeps popping up for me. I tell you, I'm so sick and tired of people afraid to tell the truth. Just speak God's Word in truth. People, somebody's got to do it so we can walk where God wants us to go. And I'll tell you what, I'm like the lady in our church. I'm just mad as the devil, but I'm more than mad. I'm fighting him. She's mad at him, but she hates him, but she don't want to fight him. In 1 Samuel 15, I hope she don't get this saved. 1 Samuel 15, for rebellion, verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. See, you got in disobedience. You rebelled against the Word of God. So in comes rebellion. And he said, and stuff, and that pertains to life and godliness. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. You get in, you disobey, and you come into to rebellion, and then you're in witchcraft. And stubbornness, see, I told you I'm going to lead you down through this. Stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Look where you're going to end up, in idolatry. And then he says, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected Saul from being king. But I want you to see now, let's go over to Acts chapter 16. He said, disobedience brings in rebellion, and rebellion brings in witchcraft. Rebellion opens the door for bitterness, to be bitter, to be unpleasant, to rebel against, to resist, and to provoke. So when we get into rebellion, we have just opened the door. Did you know a lot of that bitterness comes from rebellion? And I watch people that have been hurt. They're full of bitterness and unforgiveness. They won't forgive. And they are blaming someone else for their problems. And what they need to do is go before the Lord and say, Lord, I've disobeyed you somewhere, and open the door for this rebellion to come in. And I want to be free from it. Don't you want everything out of you that's not of God? Rebellion, unforgiveness, disobedience, bitterness, hatred, idolatry, iniquity, and witchcraft. You know, I find people are not fighting witchcraft, and I don't understand that. People, don't you believe that the witchcraft is working? And so when I say witchcraft, it's control. It's the devil trying to take control of your mind, your will, your emotion, and to destroy everything you believe. Over in Acts in chapter 16, and I wanted to show you that witchcraft is divination, it's all the things of the occult. But in verse 16, in chapter 16 in Acts, it said, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. I told our church, a lot of people have prayer lists, and they get together. I'm getting into something else, but this is okay, I'll do it. They get together, and they pray the same prayer over and over again. I mean, the same prayer. They got a list, and this man in our church, bless his heart, he'll get this tape, but I love him, he loves me. We fight all the time, but that's okay. He's older than me. There's not many people older than me. But anyways, they pray the same prayer, and that is a form of control. You know, Jesus said his words were spirit and they were life. And the word says over in Proverbs, it says life and death are in the power of the tongue. So when they're praying, when you continue praying the same thing, you are loosing words that go forth. First of all, you get an unbelief. I pray more than once for things that I'm not against that. But what I'm saying is to make a list and continue praying every morning and every night the same prayer for the same people. It is a form of control. You're trying to bend them to your control and get them to do what you want them to do. And that is a form of witchcraft. And this man in our church, I knew he was doing that. And we were fixing to come over. We were fixing to go to Texas. And I said, we're leaving out the door. And he said, I'll pray for you. I said, hey, I'm going to call him by his name. Don't pray for me. The prayer you've been praying for me. I said, now look, I love you, but you pray for protection and God will take care of us. And I said, but really pray in tongues. Don't pray in your understanding. Because I knew what he was doing. And I believe that if a person prays it long enough, they can, I won't say that. Yeah, I will too. Can remove part of your soul. It's witchcraft and they're after the soul. And that they want to, that's exactly what it is. And when we disobey the word of God, you know what God said in his word? He told me a long time ago, he woke me up one morning and he said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And I thought that was good because I knew what, that was in John 14:14. I'd been praying John 14:12 and sent on the word. I pray the word of God. I know that God hearkens into his word. He performs his word. He said, what does he say? He hastens his word to perform it. So if I pray his word and I say, Father, this is what your word says, then it's not my words, but it's his word, and he'll perform it the way he wants to. And so I just pray the word and stand upon what the word says. And when he said to me, "What if you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Then I said, well, Lord, what are you talking about? He said, when you pray my word and you ask for what's already yours in the word and you obey, then he said, I'll perform my word. And so we try to take the promises of God and make them work the way we want them to work instead of obeying God and meeting the condition. Every promise in this book's got a condition to it. And so when we meet the condition, God will perform His word. And here in verse 17, the same followed Paul and us cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, why I use this scripture, why the Lord gave this to me, this spirit of divination that this woman had was the spirit of Python. And Python is a serpent. He's a snake. And a snake, you go right back to the Garden of Eden where the serpent spoke to Eve in the garden. Now, I don't know what kind of snake it was. But what I was seeing was that when you get into witchcraft, you're operating under the spirit of divination. You're operating under the spirit of Lucifer. Man, it's quiet in here. That's okay. But what I want you to see, what did he say? To obey is better than sacrifice. And when we disobey, rebellion comes in, and rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God hates witchcraft. He said in His Word, "Suffer witch not to live." They destroyed all the witches in the mediums in Saul's day. But I'm trying to think, they didn't call him a medium. Saul said to the one of the servants, "Go find me a woman with a spirit, a familiar spirit." And a familiar spirit works in witchcraft. It knows about you. It's a knowing one. It's one that works through a medium, which is a witch or a wizard or a warlock or whatever they are. And they come and a familiar spirit will come and find out about you and take it back. How do you think the fortune tellers would tell you some little bit of something that's true? If this woman that was working under spirit of divination, if she didn't tell them, she was speaking truth. She said, these are the servants of the Most High God. That was true. So when a person is telling, speaking under these spirits, they'll tell you some things that's true. But they'll also tell you things that are not and lead you in error, lead you away from God and the truth. And that's why God hates it. That's why He said when you get in rebellion, you're opening the door for witchcraft and you're going to walk away from the things of God if you don't discern where you're walking and what's happening to you. And you got to go back and repent. You know what we need? We need a good old-fashioned time of repentance before God, and go before Him and ask. I've been repenting and asking the Holy Ghost to forgive me because He had talked to me, and I knew He was telling me things, and I'd just sit there, and then He wouldn't talk to me anymore. And I go back and I say, "Forgive me for not giving you the place in my life that you have, and I need you. Don't leave me. Talk to me. Reveal truth to me." He said He'd reveal truth. He'd show us things to come. We sit around, we don't know what's going to happen. God, listen, why do you go to somebody else to tell you? Amen. If you got the Holy Ghost in you, why don't you say, "Holy Spirit, you know everything." Be sure it's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Discern the spirits. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, kick it out. You know, there's Norman Parrish was over here doing a pastor's conference 2 years ago, and he dialed on angels. And he gave us a good guide. I wrote it down in my Bible about how to try a spirit. You know, if you're going to try a spirit, what would you say? "Did Jesus come in the flesh?" That's what Scripture says. But if you ask the demon that, they'll say, "Yeah." They don't have any trouble saying yes. But you see, where did I put it? There it is. You need to put it to them. You say, "I'm going in a lot of roads." Well, a lot of people need to, all these rabbits I'm shooting, y'all need to hear about, okay? But we need to know how to try spirit. And he said this, and what I had always used was, "Will that answer stand in the judgment of God? Will that answer stand before God?" But he said, if it's God's angel, if it's God's spirit or God's angel this talk comes, when you're trying the spirit, that have them confess, and they will confess, a spirit from God will confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. If you ever ask a demon any question, he can answer with yes, he'll do it. If you're trying a spirit, if someone's one of them's talking to you in your mind, put the word on him. And then he said, "I'm not satisfied with that, so I asked him another question." So So I say to them, well, what did he come for? What did Jesus come for? I thought that was good. And he said, God's angel will answer. He'll tell you. What did he come for? The devil don't want to hear this. He came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. And we try the spirits with God's word. He said, I just love it. He said, I wasn't satisfied. So I asked him another question. He said, where did he do that? And he said, the angels will tell you that he did it on Calvary, on the cross of Calvary. But he said, demons will not say that. And so we need to try the spirits. But we do have the Holy Spirit within us, and he will teach us all truth. And we need to pray, as Brother Tom said last night, I think it was him, said that we need to pray for God to give us the spirit of discernment. Do you know what I saw? When we pray for a lot of things, and we have people, and I watched the brother praying for ministering people this morning, I'll tell y'all something. You got to receive it. I saw some of them fighting the Spirit of God that was moving, and I thought, receive it! I want to jump up and say, receive it. That was me going to do it. The Lord didn't tell me to. I didn't want to interrupt his ministry. But our problem is, we need to receive it. We need to receive it. Ask God to give you the spirit of discernment, and then receive it and walk in it. And then every time the Holy Spirit shows you something, don't say, well, that's just the devil. Try the spirits. See if it be of God or not. But God doesn't want us into witchcraft. You need to start binding principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in the heavenlies, people. God's given us authority. I know I'm going a lot of directions, but I got one time to say it, and I'm going to say it now while I got time. Bind. Get into spiritual warfare. Bind witchcraft and Satanism. Cut off the power from over your family and over your church and over your town and over your house. In the name of Jesus, bind a strong man in the heavenlies. God showed me the dragon one morning. I was in my kitchen window, and I saw that thing come across my house in the spirit, and I saw him go down past three more houses, and I watched him, and I thought, oh, God, what is that thing? He was a monster in the spirit. And I won't tell you where he went. There's a church down below us, and he went over that church. I promise you, he was a monster. And I thought, those people don't know how to do spiritual warfare. They don't even believe in the devil. And they need to know how to bind and to come against those forces. If we don't pull down the strongholds and pull the spirits out of the heavens, who's going to do it? God has given us the authority to do it. And that's not part of my sermon, but it's good. That's a good teaching. Y'all need to do it. Say, who, me? I have people say, I can't do that. Why not? If you're a believer, the only reason you're not doing it, you don't believe. The word says the believer will cast out devils. And if you're not casting out devils, if you're not binding and loosing, Jesus said you will bind and loose according to your faith and who he is. Who he is. You read Matthew 16, start with verse 13. He asked the apostles who did they say he was. And one said Jeremiah, one said Elijah. And he said, but who do you say I am? And they said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, behold, I give you the keys of the kingdom of God. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose is loose. And it's according to who we believe he is, and know that he's, when you pray, he hears you, and he's going to do what you ask. You bind those forces in the heavenlies. You bind them off of your family. You call for God's protection, his angels. You know, I was telling the girls upstairs, he said he's given us authority over the works of his hands. And he created the angels. Every time I say this, I get somebody going to go, where did he get the wrong angel? You know, my God's not going to send me the wrong angel. He's going to send me his angel. He's going to send me a devil. And I call for the angels of the Lord to encamp around about my family, to stand guard over them and to protect them. Said his angels hearken to the voice of his word. And his word is that the angels of ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those that are heirs of salvation. Are you an heir of salvation? If you are, everything God has is for us. As we stand up on the word and believe the word and walk in it. And I'm telling you, people, we ain't seen nothing yet. Pardon my English. We ain't seen nothing yet. Because for the believer, those that will obey God and walk with him, we're going to see things that you can't even comprehend them in the natural, but you're going to have to look in the spirit to look at it and see it. God is doing a new thing. He's pouring out his spirit. He's doing a work. And, man, I want to be right in the middle of it. And I'm going to be there with everything I've got, because I know my God, and I want to see what he's going to do. Where was I? Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's go back. Let's go to 1 Samuel No, I covered that. I'll skip that. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 9. I want to tell you something else that comes in with stubbornness. I was kind of amazed myself when I was reading this. I think this is the one. In Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 27, no, this is not it, but I got another one I'll show you. In verse 27, the word says, "Remember thy servant Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look not unto the stubbornness of this people, nor of their wickedness, nor to their sin." Stubbornness is wickedness and sinful. And God says, not to look at what the people do. We need to get rid of these things that keep us from obeying God. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 21. I was amazed at this one. This is the one as I was reading it in verse. I didn't read that one in 1 Samuel 28. I've talked about it. Okay. I'm on stubbornness right now. Okay. Stubbornness. We're going to get stubbornness out. Okay. If a man have a stubborn, verse 18 in chapter 21 of Deuteronomy. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of this city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not only not obey our voice, he is a glutton and a drunkard. Stubbornness brings in that spirit of drunkenness and gluttony. Wonder if a lot of our overweight, somebody call stubbornness off of me. Quick, get me delivered. Wonder if a lot of this is from our being stubborn. I thought it was interesting. Stubbornness leads to rebellion and disobedience. Well, I'd say disobedience brings us to rebellion, and rebellion to witchcraft, and witchcraft to stubbornness, and then idolatry. It will lead us away from God. Now, over in Psalms 78, that's a real good psalm. You need to read all of it. I just got a couple of verses. I think I wanted it. Talks about disobedience, not doing what God told Israel to do, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the work of God that keep his commandments, obedience, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart right and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Tells it, doesn't it? It tells you that when stubbornness comes in, that we're not steadfast with God. You know, I really had never thought about stubbornness having that kind of effect on people, but as I began to check, go back and see where it came from, that it came from disobedience and rebellion and witchcraft, I was just amazed that all of this, every one of us walk in it, one way or the other. Said, not me, I'm blood bought, so am I. I tell you, the Lord is good. He is good and he loves us and he wants so much to set us free. Okay, let's go on. let's go to Deuteronomy. I mean, Exodus, excuse me. I'm just excited. I have a lot I want to say and I'm trying to hurry. Exodus 32 and verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down, for thy people, which thou brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed unto it, and said, These be thy God, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Stubbornness leads, what is it? Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I know the word.
That's right.
I don't have demons. I'm pretty near perfect. Praise the Lord. We are stubborn. We are stubborn, and stubbornness opens the door. You know, everybody needs deliverance. I don't care who you are.
Amen.
I don't care if you preacher. Man, I tell you, you preachers need it more than anybody else. Well, it's true. because we're always ministering to other people, laying hands on other people. You say, well, they don't, the spirits don't get onto me. Well, then you must be pretty near perfect, because, excuse my English, but I know they do. I know spirits can transfer. I know when we're walking under the anointing and we're obeying God, I know we're covered. But there are times when you will lay hand on somebody because they walked up to you and they might have cost you and you just chewed somebody up. Now, you're not perfect. And you're open. And so we need, you know, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, didn't he? He said, you're in the world. He said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. But what he was saying was they were walking in the dust and they were picking it up. And when I saw that, is he's telling me that, hey, you're in this world and you're around all kinds of spirits. You know, if God would open your spiritual eyes and let you see in the spirit, you'd see what's around you. And if you don't do anything else, you'll use this and open the door for one of them to get you. You say, you're scaring me. Good. You ought to be scared. We've been passive long enough. God wants us to walk in the power and authority of the Holy Spirit. He wants us clean. He wants. Don't you want to be where you can hear the voice of the Lord and know what He says and instantly obey Him because you know it's Him and you want to do what He tells you to do? If He tells you to go minister to someone or go speak to someone, you go do it. And listen, they may not even receive what you do, but guess who's going to get blessed? The one that does it out of obeying God. I'm telling you, I pray for people a lot of times, and I just like praying for a piece of wood. You ever lay hands on somebody and it felt like a piece of wood? I mean, with no life there. And I thought, Lord, touch them. And the more I pray, the more excited I get. And whether they ever received anything was between them and God. But we are be obedient to God, and we're going to see God move mightily. Deuteronomy 18, chapter 18. I'm about through. Almost. You see, God called us to come out from among them and be separate. Well, we're on this earth and we're walking in this earth, but we don't have to walk the way the world is walking. And if we will obey Him, we don't know how many people we harm by the way we walk. I've had people tell me, well, if that individual's a Christian, I don't need that. I got enough problems. Paul said, you may be the only epistle anybody reads. And we need to be walking where God's called us to walk and in the authority. Ministering to everyone that needs, that will receive, but do it like I tell this blessed man in our church. He's 86, 7, 9, something. He wants to get everybody saved, and that's great. But he only gets in the wisdom. And I said, you know, you can't go. And the Word says that the Spirit has to draw a person to Jesus. And I said, now what you do, you pray. And you say, Lord, you send me where you want me to go. And I said, if you'll hear the Lord, He'll prepare someone on the other end for you to go talk to receive. But if you just walk in, I said, and start talking to them, and of course, his favorite thing is talk deliverance. I said, leave the deliverance out till you get them saved at least, you know. And then talk to them about the Lord. So you got to use the wisdom of the Lord is what I'm trying to say. If you go and minister to someone, don't go do it because you want to. Go as the Spirit of the Lord leads you. And we do a lot of harm by being zealous or full of pride and thinking I can do anything. Man, I'll tell you what, I just kind of back off myself because I've had people when I first got into this deliverance ministry said, what do you see on me? And I said, nothing. I wasn't looking. Amen. I don't go around looking for spirits. I promise you, I never about thought I did. And they would literally was real popular. Still am. Still am. They still run. But it's for different reason now. But anyways, the thing is, we have got to use the wisdom of God. And you don't go, God will bring them to you if you'll pray. And Deuteronomy chapter 18, this is where disobedience and pride comes in. He said, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of the nations. He said God had a reason because why he wanted Saul to destroy all those people and all of the animals. I must step on a lot of toes. I don't care. I'm going to say it anyways, Lord. I have just a hard time with people that are treating animals like children. I really can't take it. First of all, I know they're used as chalices. I know if you're in deliverance and you got a cat or a dog in your house, praise the Lord. And you, I know I'll get flack from this. That's okay. I get it anyway. So, you know. But God wants us to, you see, I see people lavishing love and affection on animals that they ought to give to God. And that's why I come against it. Well, I got to have something, they say. I got to have something to love. I said, we're to worship and love the Lord our God. And there's children around that need love. There are children that have absolutely no love. And there's people lavishing money. I was in the store the other day, and this man went out in front of me, had a cart full of cat food. And expensive. I guess it's expensive, these little big cats like that. I thought, how many kids would that minister to? He was such a grouch. I really wanted to lay hands on him suddenly and cast that thing out. I tried to talk to him, you know. I just going to have a conversation, but he didn't want to talk. But the thing is that God is telling us, he said, destroy. He told Saul to destroy all those things, and they were disobedient. My daughter-in-law, I'll tell you why I hate cats. And I don't hate cats, but I don't like what people do with them. Because I tell you what I went through with my daughter-in-law. She had 6 cats and 2 children. And she loved those stupid cats. But she ignored her kids, didn't she? I didn't know this. We got into deliverance with her. And I had to break a soul tie with her and her cats. And I called the spirit of those cats out of her. She would get up in the morning and go out in the backyard and spend time with her cats and leave her kids in the house. We broke soul tie with those cats, called that thing out of her, and she got rid of every cat she had. She's never had an animal since then. Now, I know that some of y'all have pets and you love them, and that's. But what I'm saying to you is this. God wanted them to destroy the animals when they came into the land, simply because the spirits that were in the people were still in those animals that were being brought into the... God wanted them all cleaned out. He didn't want any of them there. Yeah, I know I'm on toes. Y'all forgive me. You got to love me because the Lord says so. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, that uses divination and the observer of times and an enchanter or a witch. My son also has a dog. I had to come back and tell you why I have problems with him. He lives alone. He's got a Doberman. And he usually has 1, 2, or 3 of them. And he has no fellowship with his kids. You can understand how I feel, can't you? He has no fellowship with his kids. I don't know why I thought of that. It just popped into me as I was reading this. He says, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer, for all these things are abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God does drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect before the Lord thy God. God says, well, get rid of all this stuff. He said, drive it out. Drive all these things out. Don't let any of these familiar spirits, all these things that I've been talking about are abomination to God. And pride. See, pride is one that I didn't read scripture on that, but you know, in Proverbs it talks about pride. God hates these 6 things God hates, these 7 are abomination. And pride is one of them. And then he tells us in Leviticus that our land becomes defiled. In Leviticus 18, verse 26. No, wait a minute. That's wrong. Excuse me? Chapter 27? Verse 27? Oh, okay. I'm in Exodus. No wonder it didn't look right. Okay. He said in verse 27 of chapter 18, Leviticus says, for all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. He said that we need, as I was reading this, I was saying, we need to spew these things out of our land. That our land, because our land has become defiled with stubbornness, disobedience, rebellion, witchcraft, stubbornness, idolatry. See, we get in, when I was talking about the animals, they become idols. Not to everyone. Some people have cats and dogs, and they're pets. But other people have idols. My daughter told me the other day, I got to get a dog. I said, what for? She said, because I'm by myself. I said, well, you don't need a dog. And I'm sure she'll get one because she never had this soul tie with the dog's rope between she and the dog. She loves it. All of our kids love animals, and they do. Every one of them do. But God tells us not to make idols. You can make an idol out of your kids. You can make an idol out of your husband or your wife. And God says we're not to have any idols before him. So he's telling us that we need to get rid of our... And I went into all of this just simply... And I'm going to read that scripture one more time over in 1 Samuel 15. Because of this spirit of stubbornness that God was talking to me about when he spoke it to me. I shared this in our church the other night, and we had a lot of deliverance from it. Verse 21 says, but the people took of the spoils, sheep and oxen, the chief of things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings? And 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 and 21 through 23, he said, has the Lord as great delight in the burning and burnt offerings and sacrifices, and they obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. God says to obey him, to do what he says, is better than sacrifice, and what do you say? And to hearken than the fat of rams. As we listen to God and are obedient to him and get free from the powers of darkness that the enemy is trying to bring upon us to separate us from the power of God. So stubbornness, let me show you what the word stubbornness means. You want to call the spirits off for me? Stubbornness, he says, is to stun or dull, to peck at, to press, to urge. It's obstinate, it's to be cruel, to be dense, make grievous, hard, and it's stiff-necked. That's what the word stubbornness means, is in the definition of it in the concordance. And so if you find yourself being, you know, sometimes just get real passive, just sit, you know, just like in a stupor, might check, see if a spirit of stubbornness is working on you, to be obstinate, to be cruel. Some people just like to be cruel. They say cruel things to hurt people. And God says it ought not be. Now, we're gonna do deliverance on those that want deliverance. I'm going to let Jim call the spirits off, if he will, and to call off these spirits of stubbornness and pride and rebellion, divination, and all of the things that we have been talking about. You got a scripture you want to read?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to read one.
Okay, here you go. Those. And we need to do some repenting and ask the Lord to forgive us. Say, well, you've already done that. You know, I was sitting here this morning while the brother was ministering, and I was having trouble with my mind. My mind was trying to wander. And I just said, Lord, I just ask you as the Holy Spirit to just take over my mind completely. Don't let anything interfere with what I want to hear. I want to hear what's being said. So when the enemy tries his best to block us from hearing the truth and then acting upon it. And the Lord, and I was just sitting there with my eyes closed, and all of a sudden it was just so still in there, I could hear perfectly. The Spirit of the Lord was working. And I just praise the Lord for it. So, if you're having trouble right now with your mind wondering, saying, I don't have this problem and all of that, take authority over it. Ask the Lord to do a work, as I did this morning.
Well, do you know a little bit more about stubbornness and the spirits that are involved here? Let me ask you before we start, let me ask you something. How would your relationship with the Lord be if we built an idol in our home and bowed down and worshiped it at least once a day and sometimes three times a day or more? How would your relationship with the Lord be? What would happen to your relationship with the Lord if you said, I don't have to obey the word of the Lord anymore, that I'll do my way, the things I want to do, it'll be my way. That was the scripture she just read, that stubbornness is as iniquity, which is lawlessness, that is disobeying and breaking the laws of God, and idolatry. They are the same. Now, we take a stubbornness as a light thing. Well, I mean, if I don't want to come in line with the way this is, that's all right. I'll be stubborn about it, and I'll have my own way. And we take that very lightly. But do you see what the Word says about it? It's as iniquity and as idolatry. And you know that the Lord frowns mightily on those things. And I think we should look at it in a new light. We have we always ask who's here for the first time when we come the first night, and we have a lot of new people. We have some here that's never sat in mass deliverance. Anybody here that's never been in mass deliverance before? 1, 2. I will call the names of the Spirit. I do not want anybody to pray. We're getting rid of stuff not taking in. So we don't want you to pray. We don't want you to clench your arms, fold your hand or clench your hands across your legs. These are signs of rebellion, of resistance. We want you to completely give yourself over to the Lord. And if I call something that you say, well, that's not in me, don't do that. Say, if it's in me, I want it to go. That is the whole purpose of my standing here calling demons names to come out of people. And because I call something does not mean that it is present in you. But if it's there, don't hold on to it. This is the time set aside for you to be set free. And it works. Let me tell you, we've had some wonderful deliverances in this place right here over the past years. And many times during the year, we come 6 times a year. And this happens at every time. And at this time, every afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, probably Dr. Noel, somebody else will minister deliverance to you tomorrow. But it'll happen again at this time tomorrow. And I don't want you to leave here holding on to the things that you came to get rid of. This is the purpose of the camp. I'm taking time, but I want you to understand, usually we don't give much instruction as to deliverance. And when I call, you say, Father, now don't say it out loud. What you do is you think these things because God knows what's in your heart. And if it's in me, take it out, Lord. I surrender myself to you. Release me from this power. So in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind Satan's power over this building, over this place, this grounds. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind all the demons in this place, even those in people right here, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I render them powerless to resist to the power of the Most High God, the only true and living God. And we just thank you, Lord, for setting your people free, even before we start, for your word has already declared that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. So, Father, we ask for deliverance for your people this day. And we praise you and we thank you even before we begin in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call disobedience. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Disobedience. I want disobedience out in Jesus' name. All the disobedience, the unbelief. Let me go after unbelief. There's a lot of unbelief in people. And I call unbelief out. Come on, loose them. Loose them in the name of Jesus. Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus. All the unbelief. Unbelief, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. You have no place. You have no place in God's people. Loose this family of God. Let them go in the mighty name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. All the disobedience. All the disobedience. In the name of Jesus, come out. Let them go. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that rebukes you and commands you to loose this people. In Jesus' name, rebellion, spirits of rebellion, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Rebellious spirits. All the rebellious spirits. In Jesus' name, come out. Loose this people. The Lord Jesus Christ commands you. Let my people go. Let my people go. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All rebellion. Rebellion. And the bitterness. All bitterness. Even the root of bitterness. I call that root of bitterness out in Jesus' name. Loose them. Loose them in the name of Jesus. You have no place here. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Bitterness. All bitterness. The Lord Jesus Christ commands, let the people go. Let them go in Jesus' name. I command you. I command you, demons. I come in the authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the rebellion, all the bitterness, and all the disobedience. In Jesus' name, let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. The provoking spirit. A provoking spirit. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. All the provoking spirits. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You have no place here. Witchcraft. Spirits of witchcraft. In Jesus' name. I bind a witch. I bind every witch. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind the witch in Jesus' name, and I call all of the craft out, the witchcraft, in Jesus' name. I break the curses that are loosed on the God's people this day. Witchcraft curses, control curses, curses used to control God's people. I break the power of them in Jesus' name. I release you from the bondage of the curse in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. All the curses that are loosed on God's people in Jesus' name. The curses that are loosed to separate you from God in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. Come on out. Come on. Let him go. Let him go in Jesus' name. You have no place here. You have no place here. Come out. Come out. Come out. Spirits of enchantment. Enchantment. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That spirit of enchantment. Let them go. Let them go. The Lord rebuke you. Magic. Spirits of magic. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out. Move. Move. Move in Jesus' name. You've got to go. You've got to go. The Word says, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. You will go. You will bow. You will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His name that commands you to go. You will let them go. You will let this people go. All the spirits of magic and sorcery and enchantment, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Sorcery. Sorcery in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. All that witchcraft. Witchcraft and sorcery. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Divination. Divination. You're a part of it too. Come out. Come out. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Let them go. Let them go. You have no place here. You have no place in God's people. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Stubbornness. That spirit of stubbornness. It has to go. Stubbornness. I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to loose this people. Spirits of stubbornness. I cast you out. I cast you out of this people in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you can't stay. You have no place here. You have no right here. I break the power that you've released on these people in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to God's Word, in the name of Jesus. And I command you, come out of them. Name, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is written, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. To the glory of God, of beings in heaven, of beings in earth, and beings under the earth shall all bow to the name of Jesus. And we come in the authority and the power and the glory of that name. And we command you, loose this people, you rebellious spirits, you power spirits of the devil. You have no place here. And I command you to go, all those stubborn spirits, stubbornness, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Stubbornness, cruel spirits, all the cruel spirits in Jesus' name. The dense spirits in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Grievous spirits. Let them go. Let them go. Hard spirits. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That stiff-necked spirit. All a part of the stubbornness. against our God. It comes against our God. It's not against man. It's against God. When we sin, it's against our God. And when we're stubborn, it is stubbornness against our God. Let him go. Let him go. Come on out. Come on out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The dull spirits. Dull spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Let him go. Let him go. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebuke you. Let him go. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of iniquity. Iniquity, that's lawlessness. All that lawlessness. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Jesus. Lawless spirits. Idolatry spirits. Idolatry. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You have no place here. You have no right to God's people. Come out. Come out. Idolatry. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Gluttony, spirits of gluttony, in the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go, in Jesus' name. Spirits of drunkenness. Drunkenness. That's spiritual drunkenness. Doesn't have to be on alcohol. Spirit, but it can be on alcohol. I call that drunkenness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the spirits of drunkenness, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I call that familiar spirit. A familiar spirit out. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Familiar spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Familiar spirit. Familiar spirit. Let them go. Let them go. Spirits of iniquity. I want a spirit of sin. Spirit of sin. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. And in Genesis, we find that sin lieth at the door. He's waiting by the door. He's waiting by your door. Sin is waiting by your door just for an opportunity that you'll open your door and he will come in. And I bind that spirit of sin and I cast him out in Jesus' name. And I break the power of sin over you. I'll have to preach if I start that. Sin, let him go. Let him go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, spirit of sin, come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want that disobedient spirit, the one we started with, that disobedient spirit. I bind your power in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I command you. Finish the work, Lord. Finish the work. Drive it on out on those that you started setting free. Spirit of disobedience. Disobedience. Come on out. Come on out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ commands you. It is he that rebukes you. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You have no place in the family of God. Every one of these spirits. You're alien to God's people and I command you to loose them and come out. Come out in Jesus' name. The rebellion and the bitterness and the disobedience. In the name of Jesus. An unpleasant spirit. An unpleasant spirit. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. And all the witchcraft. Again, all witchcraft. I go, come again at the witchcraft. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Jesus. Let them go. Come out. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Enchantment. Spirits of enchantment from witchcraft. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Enchantment. In the name of the Lord Jesus. That's witchcraft. Enchantment. In Jesus' name. You have no place here. Let them go. Come out. Come on out. Come on out. Loose him. Loose my brother. Loose my brother there in Jesus' name. All those spirits that are harassing him right now in Jesus' name. We come against them. Put your faith out. Let's get some freedom over here on this side. We've got some real one going, a stubborn one going here. In the name of the Lord Jesus, put your faith out for God to set him free. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on out. Let him go. Let him go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. All that stubbornness, the stubbornness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let him go. Let him go. In Jesus' name. You have no place here. You have no place here. Hallelujah. Well, they will continue to work. And All right, I'm going to pray now. And we're not going to leave just the minute I get through praying. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you that you're a God that is enough to set us free. And I thank you for the deliverance we've seen right here to this day in the name of the Lord Jesus, and that's continuing in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you cleanse our church. Send your angels to cleanse our church here now in Jesus' name, that nothing will remain of the enemy that will return to harass your people in the name of Jesus. Let the angel cleanse it. I bind the spirits that would try to come back at a later date in Jesus' name. I bind backlash and retaliation by the enemy to come against God's people in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we praise you. We thank you for deliverance. And Father, fill every vacancy made by the enemy that where he's left with your Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.